Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on December 18, 2008. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. My voice is still funny because I'm still recuperating from a relatively severe throat infection. I'm on very heavy, powerful antibiotics right now. I think it's getting a little better. I'll try to make it through this half-hour broadcast. let me remind everyone that is listening to please call in 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620, with any of your questions or comments, and it doesn't have to be on the subject that we're on. Also, we have an email address of comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you're listening to a rebroadcast, please do send your comments. We will answer your email directly and respond to your questions over the air. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Contraryinvestorscafe.com. Go to mytwocentsonline.com, and that too is a numeric two. His commentary on the macroeconomic scene is absolutely the best in the business, folks. I mean, he's intelligent. He's a fantastic writer. I never miss a word. His weekly commentary is free, and he has a paid subscription called The Sensible Investor. It's very inexpensive, and I strongly recommend, or highly recommend, that you subscribe to both. Folks, this program is now available on Sunday evenings through Restore the Republic Radio Network. We appreciate their commitment to our program and encourage you to visit their website, rtrradio.com. That's rtrradio.com for an entire listing of informative programs. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, now that we got all that out of the way, folks, I'll try and see if I can make it through this broadcast. Hopefully, by Sunday evening, our next live broadcast, my voice should be okay. The antibiotics appear to be working. I am sipping some coffee, which is helping a little bit, aggravating it more than anything else. But I'd like to cover a few subjects today. The title of our program this morning is that you can handle the truth. Now, I would say that a little bit more forcefully, but I cannot. And those are the famous words by Jack Nicholson, the movie A Few Good Men. And Tom Cruise was cross-examining him in a military court, if you remember that movie. And, Nicholson was sort of right. You know, you can't handle the truth. And I think this is what our mainstream media really tells us, is that we're going to tell you what we think you can handle. And that's a travesty in and of itself. Because what we hear from the mainstream media isn't wrong, but it's not the full story. Let me give you an example. Madoff swindled people out of allegedly swindled people out of $50 billion. And there are calls for legislation because of his actions. Now, I'd like everyone just to think for a minute. The monies that he received were from whom? Were they from little Annabelle who, you know, had $50, her last $50, and she gave it to him to invest, you know, like a little mutual fund or an online account? Absolutely not. The people who gave him money were people who were hired by organizations, usually large organizations, sometimes nonprofit organizations, sometimes for-profit organizations, investment houses and such like that. People who really understood the financial community, understood investments, return on investment, and understood risk. These people you would call financially astute. Not only that, some of them were the most financially well-to-do people who have been involved in investing a good portion of their lives. The people that they hired were people who knew purportedly more than they did. They were professionals. They were professional investment counselors and people who were entrusted with large sums, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes billions or tens of billions of dollars to administer. So these people were way up there. These were the elite of investing. Now, what person who's that damn smart in his right mind would give millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, and sometimes billions of dollars to an individual? Just to an individual because he had a good name or he had a good track record. That makes no sense at all. You would think that someone would say, well, if I'm entrusted with this $100 million, I would do my research because I'm getting paid good money and put money in the stock market where it's sound. For example, buy bonds of Procter & Gamble, for example, preferred stock, possibly some in the stock market, well-known and well-heeled companies. They buy directly from the companies in large blocks where they become significant stakeholders in those companies. Companies like Microsoft and General Electric and Procter & Gamble and Boeing and, you know, all those big companies as such. And, of course, the Fortune 500. And then there's also mutual funds that, you know, I'm telling you, so you got to know. I hate when I say that, by the way, excuse me. But I digress, that they can invest in the market in general. There's all sorts of vehicles that they can use. Now, admittedly, the purported return on investment is much lower than what Madoff was espousing, you know, in his literature. So they thought that they would get, you know, greedy, and I hate to use the word greed because it's overused, but they thought they were being smartasses, and they're saying, well, I can beat everybody else. I'm going to give it to this guy, and I'm going to show everyone how smart I am. Well, they were stupid, and there shouldn't be any investigation. In fact, if anything, these people should be, you know, tarred and feathered for doing that. I mean, these people should be exposed. Say, here are some of the biggest idiots in the world. Now, but we don't say that. We just say, look what happened, and these investors got burnt, and they lost all their money. And then they interviewed some of these people, and some of these people say, well, you know, it was really hidden. It was sort of a tiered approach, and they have all this garbage. Well, you dumb SOB, that's your job. If you're administering hundreds of millions of dollars, they're paying you big bucks, probably millions of dollars a year to administer it, you can at least take 5 minutes and look at where the money's going. But not these guys. No, they just give it away because this ain't their money. They're getting paid big bucks and they're having a good time. Now, what's my point about talking? What's my point talking about this as it relates to liberty? Well, what happens is when something like this happens, oh, we have a caller. Hold on, please. Caller, you're on the air. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Jay. I go by the Ozone in Los Angeles, California.
Jay, thank you so much for calling from California. Very good. Jay, what is your comment or question, please?
I think you're being a little hard on the people that invested with Madoff because he did make money for most of the people that invested. And just like you deal with any company, if there's corruption inside a company, you can invest in a company that has a strong name, and people have done that and still lost all their money. If someone is doing corruption or lying, it's important for people to be responsible as to where they put their money. But when you're dealing with someone that's lying and using and doing things that are illegal that he's not telling you, you can't really blame people from what I understand, the investors, most investors that invested with him made a lot of money. That's why other people who heard about it invested more. The people who lost are really the people who are now still in the company but never cashed out. It's in a Ponzi scheme. It's always the guys at the end that lose all the money. Everyone else makes money.
That is correct, Jay, and I agree with you. And I agree with you. Here's here's my point, is that anyone who is responsible for someone else's money is required. I mean, if you are a financial person, now I'm not a financial guru and I have no license, but there's certain things I do know. You have to perform at least an annual due diligence. In other words, you have to be assured that what you have is what you have, and you have to take the proper steps to ensure that that is the case. Now, giving large sums of money to an individual, regardless of what the apparent returns are or how much somebody else made or how successful it was, is irresponsible by any measure in the financial community. Now, but I agree with you. We can be investing in GE. We can find out GE has all sorts of, I'm making that up, but, all sorts of contracts that go bad and we can lose our money. But at least you can do some due diligence on GE regarding the contracts. And there's things that you can do. What these people did is it's almost like not diversifying. It's like saying, let me take a lot of money and put it all in this penny mining stock here. Now, it's a legitimate mining stock. I mean, it's a legitimate company, but it's extremely high risk whenever you take all your money and put it anywhere, even if it's all in Procter & Gamble or it's all in AT&T. And this is what these people did. These people did not exercise good financial judgment. And my problem with this is that every time something like this happens, we go on this tale of woe on television, and the end result is more government regulation. And government regulation would never stop anything like this because the next scheme is going to bypass the government regulation. Where the government regulation goes awry is that when it affects your liberty, my liberty, and liberty of everyone around us. Because now we are being held to those standards, to those controls, to those audits and whatever by the government. But these characters who are scheming the system never do. It's sort of like gun control. Everybody, they take the guns away from everybody except for the gangs and the crooks. I mean, it's so we are left holding the bag. This is my whole point, Jay.
You're right. No, the thing that what I see with government agencies providing services like supposedly supposed to enforce the regulations on the financial institutions, when all these federal agencies get started, what happens is everyone starts in their mind to say, hey, The government's watching. I don't have to really pay attention. I don't have to check where my toys come from. FDA is supposed to look at that. I'm not going to look at this drug. FDA approved it. I'm sure it's good. I'm not checking if it's good or not. And also with investing, people expect the federal agency to be monitoring this kind of activity and preventing it, so they assume it's not happening.
You're absolutely correct. In fact, government regulation results in higher risks because exactly what you said, Jay, it creates a perception of safety, and there is none. And this happens over and over again. Just think, for example, I had a conversation with a friend and said to him, there should be no banking regulation. Excuse me, my voice is very bad. I'm getting over a very severe throat infection, and I'm on antibiotics. I hope to make it through the next 15 minutes. But what happened? He said, people would lose their money. I said, no, they wouldn't. He said, well, how could you say that? I said, because just think, what if someone came up to you and said, hey, I'm a bank. There's no regulation. There's no guarantees. Give me your money. I'll give you 5% interest. And if you want your money back, I may do that. How many people would invest in that bank? The answer is zero. No one. Until that bank did something to assure the public that their money was safe with them. And that's where individual due diligence comes in. Because no one's going to go to a bank. Now, if the bank says, oh, don't worry, we're okay, we're solid, and we promise to give you your money back, people still would not give their money. But what would happen if there would be agencies created, and not something like Standard & Poor's and Moody's that are owned by the issuing companies, but independent agencies, just like Consumer Reports, if you will. And they would say, Bank A, don't go near it. You know, Bank B, solid as a rock. Where would people put their money? Probably in Bank B. And I'm just saying that the situation is self-correcting. Nothing in this world is perfect, but you're absolutely correct. Regulation creates the perception of safety, and this is what I object to. And what we're going to get out of this is more regulation and sympathy for these clowns who should have known better.
They should just, whoever lost money should lose money. I mean, but a Madoff is responsible. I think there should be a minimum regulation. Really, I think it should be just a blanket regulation across the entire economy that the federal government is involved. It says you cannot lie and you must be 100% honest. With every business transaction, whether it's a massage or whether it's a stock, there should be a law that if you are misleading or not, you don't tell the truth in business, that should be illegal, in my opinion. There's no reason for that to be legal. And I am for some regulation to help create that environment.
Yes, Jay, hold that thought. Just let me stop for station identification. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. I'm losing my voice. Our phone and number is 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. We have four open lines. Please feel free to call in and join this conversation. Send your comments or questions to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Now, back to our program. Jay, I agree there should be regulation. This is where I want to make something very clear. The regulation should not come from government because government is political and as a result, makes political decisions and not economic decisions regardless of who it helps or who it hurts. So I absolutely agree there was regulation. If there was a bank and there was absolutely no regulation, my money would go in my mattress. Or I would have a floor safe, I would dig a hole in my backyard, and I would put my money there, and it would be perfectly safe, you know? Now, if a bank says, well, don't put your money back in the backyard, I will give you 5% or 3%, big deal. What am I going to gain with 3%? But 3%, you know, I say, well, I may give you some of my money, a little bit of it for convenience sake, but what do I get for that? I mean, how do I know I'm going to get it back? That bank better be able to prove to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that that money is safe. Now, would I take all of my money and give it to that bank? No, I may only give 5% of that money. I mean, and then if I really blow it, I blow 5%. I'm just saying that, yes, regulation, there's self-regulation, and then there's private regulation, and I agree with both of those wholeheartedly. Where I disagree is when the government gets involved, boy, are we in trouble. Your comments, Jay.
You know, I'm not 100% with you on that, because if somebody's going to lie and be corrupt and shows people 20 years of profits with customers calling and verifying that they made him profits over 20 years, and, you know, and with all the companies that are out there, there's really, it's almost impossible for anyone to be 100% sure.
You're right.
They want to diversify.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. Now, you used the word diversify. Now, these people didn't give Madoff 1% or 3% of their money. They gave all of their money to him. That was number one. Number two, people blew the whistle on Madoff 10 years ago, and the SEC did nothing about it. Three, people who were in the know, people who looked at his financial statement says, this guy, this is 10 years ago, said this guy's a fraud. He says he is making 10% when everybody else was making 1%, 2% or losing money. I mean, you can't fight the system. I mean, you can have a good year. I mean, I invest very heavily. I mean, all my money is invested, so I'm very familiar with this stuff. And there are years where a fund may do just fantastic and beat the pants off everybody. Guess what happens the next year? It's sort of like the Super Bowl champ of last year now is in 15th place the next year. You know, it goes in cycles. If you make it one year, there's a good chance you're not going to make it the next year. No one continually makes it. No one. There isn't one person on earth who's made it year after year after year after year above the market. Now, what this guy showed is that he went above the market exponentially every year, even on down years, and then even on follow-up down years. Now, there were financial people sitting out there saying, this is stupid. This can't happen. There was enough suspicion out there, but these people got greedy. They got they got involved with him, you know, and there was a real cozy relationship. And I say, this guy got exactly what he deserved, what they deserved. Unfortunately, he wasn't playing with his money. He was playing with other people's money. That's why I don't give my money to anyone. I invest it myself. I mean, there are things people can do. Now, government can't help you there, Jay. It's not possible for government to help you at all.
I heard that it's possible that his brother-in-law worked in the office of that was enforcing the regulations of the SEC.
Oh, that's interesting.
Did you hear about that?
No, I had not. I didn't follow too closely. I just followed just the headline stuff on him. I was too busy with other stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, he's filing SEC reports every year. And, you know, there's no way for all these pensions or all these people that invest, even when you invest with, you know, and you decide which company, you look at the company reports, you look at the SEC filings, SEC says it's all legit. It's the corruption. We need more enforcement, and we need tough penalties for misleading business.
What is the most corrupt organization in the world, in the United States?
The government, the Congress.
All right, thank you. Aren't you asking organized crime? Aren't you asking organized crime to get rid of crime? I mean, are you saying, hey, you know, we got to clean up this mess. Don Corleone, would you please clean it up for us? You see what I mean? We're going to people who sustain this corruption because there's money in it. Now, I'm sure Madoff gave tons of money to politicians. I'd love to. I can't wait for that to come out. And so what they do, they say, yeah, we'll investigate it, and they write a memo somewhere or something like that, and it gets lost. I wouldn't trust that. No more than I can throw my house over my shoulder. I wouldn't go through that at all. Well, Jay, good point. Jay, why don't you send me an email to comments@libertytalkradio.com and with your mailing address, and I'll send you a Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt or a coffee mug free of charge on me for calling this morning and helping my voice out. Fair enough?
Thank you very much.
Okay, Jay. Thank you very much, and thank you for calling in. Good luck to you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Well, folks, that was terrific. We did have a call this morning, and that was great. One comment I want—we only have about four more minutes. One comment I wanted to make was about the Person of the Year by Times. It's Barack Obama. And, you know, we always pick on people who have who are well known. Now, why Barack Obama's the man of the year is beyond me, but I'll buy that. You know, I'll buy that. And then the people who come in second, third, and fourth place. Look at this. Hank Paulson is the runner up to Person of the Year for Time Magazine, the Time Magazine Person of the Year rather, and Hank, he should be hung. I mean, he should be thrown out. That guy's a bum. I mean, he's done nothing but harm to this economy. And how they elect him? Well, Time is an extremely left-wing magazine. And look at some of these people they have. They had Lyndon B. Johnson as Man of the Year in 67 and in 64. This guy created more death and destruction to this earth than any one president ever did, even more so than George Bush. Where the hell does that come from? And then in 1969, they had the Middle Americans. It was an abstract choice as Person of the Year. William Westmoreland, holy smoke. I mean, you've got to be kidding. Ha, here's a nice one. In 1971, Richard Nixon. And then 1972, Richard Nixon. And followed by Henry Kissinger. Holy smoke. Folks, they have people on here. In 1970, my person here was Ayatollah Khomeini. In 82, it was the computer. Mikhail Gorbachev. Now, maybe him. Maybe there was some, you know, the endangered earth. Gorbachev got again. George H.W. Bush. I can't believe that. Let's see. Now, they have a couple of popes in here. Newt Gingrich, come on, please help me with this. You know, Bill Clinton got it a couple of times. Now, and in 2000, George W. Bush was Person of the Year. Now, could you imagine that? And then, in 2004, George W. Bush again. In 2006, you got the Man of the Year, the Person of the Year. And then in 2007, Vladimir Putin. And now Barack Obama. Not very good company, folks. We are not being told the truth because you can't handle the truth. The words spoken by Jack Nicholson in the movie A Few Good Men are as appropriate today to us outside the movie genre, real life, as it ever has been. And folks, that's a sad commentary. Listen to what they are saying about our financial condition in the United States. Listen to CNBC News, and you'll realize, folks, they know you cannot handle the truth. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Jenkins Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government's like training wheels. You now have a control ride that isn't more fun. Ron Paul has a sign that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.